A very good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to the show that talks about family-related matters, that is, family dynamics. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, here to keep you company on this interesting conversation or interesting show of family dynamics. Of course, it is yet another Monday, beginning of the week, in a brand new year. And as we're starting off, we're continuing, we're keeping the momentum and of course keeping the energy and just going with the flow as the year takes us into it. We don't want to stress ourselves. It's only the beginning of the year, and even when we get up into the middle of the year, we don't want to stress ourselves. We want to take things as they come, not be so overly anticipating of certain matters, but rather need to be keep our cool this very 2026, keep our peace and our calm so that we can just navigate this year in a peaceful manner. Of course, reaching out to those goals that we've set for ourselves, but kind of like not really straining yourself, you know, not being anxious, not being desperate about it, but rather hoping and having strong faith to say that it will happen. And when it doesn't happen, we're leaving room for disappointment, right? We're leaving room for disappointment. That's the motto and the goal for me, for any year. Actually, ever since I've noticed that, you know what? You can make your plans and then they can just come rolling down and crumbling to the floor with when a situation happens, especially, you know, those situations that happen as life throws, certain balls to us or certain lemons to us, and we need to make lemonade out of it. So once you learn from such an experience, you now later realize that, hold on, I'm not entirely in charge of everything. I'm not entirely in charge of my life and how it will completely go. Of course, I have choices to make, but I'm not entirely in charge of tomorrow and how it will come. You know, there's unforeseen circumstances that will happen, whether we're talking about illness, whether we're talking about complete change of career, of complete change of work. I mean, your job could tell you that, you know what, Happy, you have to relocate to another place. And perhaps, of course, that's something that maybe you could just squeeze in and say, okay, you know what, let's do this, you know. And that's then a complete change of what you had planned. Other situations that happen is a loss of a loved one. That also can come in very dramatic. Yeah, and change your whole course of where you are going and your whole plan of what you had ahead of you. So hence why I say, let's leave room for disappointment. Of course, not walking in fear, but also being living in hope and faith that what we do set for ourselves will achieve, but also just leaving room for unforeseen circumstances. That way you won't be so overly disappointed. Now, welcome to the show where we talk about family related aspects. And that is a family dynamics right here on your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM. Listen to us via the Eagle FM app, Eagle FM website, or the Eagle FM frequencies, wherever you may be, so that you can be on par and up to date to what we are dealing with right here on your number one talk radio station. This is a show which emphasizes on talks, conversations that will then help us to navigate this journey called life in a better, in a more informed manner. Now tonight, oh my goodness, I keep on saying that because I'm so used to life lessons, which is in the evening. And since the conversation is more of that, you know, life lesson type of topic. But if you don't know, I do host a show called Life Lessons on Saturdays from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Please do join in on that show because you will learn a thing or two. Now, of course, this afternoon we're talking about family conflict and dispute and just how to resolve family conflict and dispute. Of course, within our conversations, as we have been in our series of conversations, we've brought it in here and there, but not given it to the full attention that it deserves. But so today, that's exactly what we'll be looking at today, resolving family conflict and disputes. Now, of course, family conflict is a reality in almost every household. No family is immune to disagreements, neither is it immune to misunderstandings or tension. And families are made up of individuals with different personalities, expectations, different values, and different life experiences. And those differences often collide. You know, usually when I am speaking to a married couple, for instance, or I'm speaking to somebody who is married, for instance, and then perhaps maybe they open up and say, perhaps they're having a certain challenge, or just in general talking about marriage, you know, or perhaps even if I'm talking to a newly wedded couple, sometimes I could tell them to say, you know what? You are two different people with different personalities. I like to emphasize on that. With different personalities coming together, you can't expect perfection to flow 24/7 in your house. Right? Especially when you're just getting married. Of course, the love is the butterfly is and all this hyperness and tension, you know, not good tension, you know, good, you know, good feelings is that you want to, spend the rest of your life with this person. You're just beginning, to spend the rest of your life with this person. But then this is where we get it wrong. We expect everything to go so perfect. So that when disagreements do finally come, when differences do, show up, then we are overly, you know, disappointed, and we are so discouraged, thinking, even wondering, you know, as a single wedded couple, they even begin to wonder and say, did I make the right choice? Did I really marry the right person? Say, Moon, sometimes you did make the right choice. You're just two different people with different personalities, and now there's a difference in understanding and in difference and a difference in resolving matters. So that doesn't mean that, you are a bad person. That doesn't mean that the next person is a bad person. That doesn't mean also that they are wrong, perhaps in their thoughts and in what they are thinking, towards whatever is on ground. And doesn't mean that you are wrong. It just means that you're two different people and you need to understand each other and find common ground. Now, finding that common ground, of course, requires patience. Requires time, which sometimes we are not prepared to give to ourselves or to give to our partners, which is quite important. So this emphasis of different personalities need to be understood, that it's not only in terms of a couple, you know, a married couple that just recently got married and of course must make room for, we will disagree on certain aspects. The important part is how we disagree on those different aspects and whether we maintain the respect that ought to be maintained in even our disagreements. So this different personality doesn't just refer to such, but it refers also within a home itself, within the children, within the parents, within the siblings, within the uncles, among the uncles and the aunties. It's different personalities, even when we are siblings, even we are when we have been born in from the same father, have grown up in one household, have learned certain things, they've done certain things together. We are different personalities. That is, I think, the moment we understand what that really means, we then kind of make room for how we deal with other people's. Now, conflict may arise from communication breakdowns, and many a times there are communication breakdowns in any relationship, whether that is sister to sister relationship, or sister to brother, or sister or mother daughter, mother father, or father mother. Now, also financial stress can bring conflict, and in most cases, some of the things we do see sometimes is financial stress, generational gaps as well, and cultural expectations can also bring conflict. And when you are coming together, living together, even in housemates or roommates, when there's cultural expectations, that too can bring conflict and also unresolved emotional wounds. Now, that's another aspect on its own that I feel like it's not really spoken about much. I often hear emotional intelligence, and I can tell you one thing. I hope that I can get a guest to come and speak to us quite soon about the importance of emotional intelligence, but I will not sit here and lie to you, because even at this point, I do not really understand what they mean by emotional intelligence. We need to hear from the expert themselves. I believe with a little that I think I have, I could almost say perhaps emotional intelligence is how you manage your emotions. But then I think the question that comes to my mind is, how do we get there? How do you get to a point where you have healed from your emotions? Or perhaps how do you get to a point where you are able to professionally handle your emotions without inflicting pain on the next person? So that's one aspect that I would want to learn this particular 2026, about emotional intelligence. You know, sometimes you get somebody right up on their walls, or perhaps a conversation where people are having a conversation, the person says, the problem is a lot of people don't have emotional intelligence. You know, they throw that particular phrase in there, and you begin to understand, you really ask for me. I begin to question myself and say, what really is it then? How then really can the society or us as people get to that level, you know, where we really have emotional intelligence? Yeah. Now it is important to understand that conflict itself does not mean a family is failing. Neither does it mean, or rather it is how families respond to conflict that determines whether relationships are strengthened or damaged. Now, this is also quite important when we say it is important to understand that conflict itself does not mean a family is failing. I say it's important because there was a point in my life when I have a disagreement, really, especially when it's not really a light one. When I have a disagreement with somebody, I tend to have some sort of fear that, oh no, now my relationship with this person is broken. Oh no, now we're not going to be able to talk as we used to talk anymore. Now we're not going to be able to. I would have that fear to say, once we have a disagreement, I think even with my cousins, I get into that fear aspect to say, oh my God, now the relationship is now broken. Now we can't continue to laugh the way we do. Now we can't. And I remember specifically there was one particular cousin. Now, as much as I did say from my family side, on this particular mom side, yeah, on my particular mother side of the family, holding grudges is not something that we grew up with. We were rather not really taught, but I think we saw it as an example in how it was done in our own household, whereby there can be conflict, there can be misunderstandings and disagreements, but we don't go on the next day and say, I'll not speak to her, she'll not speak to me, or you don't respond. You give a silent treatment when the person is trying to greet the next person is trying to greet you, all because of yesterday. But there was this particular cousin. Growing up, it wasn't like that. But then I remember when we were grown sort of in our teenage era, heading into adulthood, sort of. And I remember we had a disagreement, and I for one felt like I was in the right. Of course, you always feel like you are in the right, especially when there's a disagreement. And she felt I was wrong, of course. And we had an argument. And I remember so well, growing up, I generally was this person who I would rather cry. I'd rather cry over what the next person said, or of if I feel bad, I won't respond. I will answer them back. They can say all the mean things. And I think, my cousins at one point took advantage of that. So they would speak and I would just, you know, be sad about it and cry over it. And the next day, we're still gonna talk, since it wasn't my thing to hold grudges, until I met a friend who kind of helped me to put on a shell, but like I'm sort of, you know, like a tortoise, you know, when it crawls into its what do you call that now? Oh my word, the word is, I'm failing to actually say it. You know, when it goes inside, is it shell? Anyway, so now I sort of put on that, I grew wings, let me sort of say like that. So whereby now I became overly protective over myself. Why? I was being told by this friend that I should do that. No, you're too soft. You shouldn't let people walk over you. So I developed this thing of standing up for myself. No. So now one particular time, me and my cousin and I had a disagreement, and boom, I was apparently standing up for myself. So I said everything and anything that she needed to hear that she did, or whatsoever. Now, as much as I've think, if I can recall well, I did not insult you. Now, that's one thing. I won't insult you. I won't say bad words and whatnot. Maybe I would say bad words, but I won't insult you. But I mostly dwell on the truthful aspect of things. So in that particular time, I told her things that were truthful about her and things that I had observed about her. So that in me having observed them, and I believed that they were true at that particular time. So I said those things to her. To a point, my cousin cried. She really, really cried. And you know, she's that type of person who, could almost say is a very strong person. They won't cry easily. I was the cry easily person. I was the person who'd cry easily. So my cousin cried. She literally cried, you know. And did I feel remorseful? No, I did not. Not at that point. I did not feel remorseful. I just felt like I need to tell her the truth, because she kept walking over me over time. And so I felt like I had reached breaking point. And so I responded. Remember, I had now been trained by a friend to stand up for myself and all that. And this is when early going into my adulthood. So I felt like, here's a point. You know what? Let me stand up for myself. So lo and behold, that was that. And the very next day and days moving forward, we were not talking. As much as I want to talk to my cousin, she wasn't talking to me. And so I decided, you know what? That's your business. That's your baby. I'm going to leave you like that. And I remember she had asked me for $100. I so remember so clearly. She had asked me for $100 for something. And, the aim was for her to pay me back. And she wasn't employed at the time. I was having, a job at the time. I think I was working even as a waitress at the time. So I had some money. So I then told her, no, it's okay. You can keep it. I mean, I can't even, because I think, I had not given it anything like financially since I started working perhaps. So then I felt like, you know what? It's okay. You can keep it. And so because of that disagreement, she now felt like she needs to refund me back my $100. And I said, no, we already agreed that you can keep it. So I'm not going to take it back. So it was a thing of she'll put the $100 on the table and, sort of like on the bedside table put it on my side. And when I come, I'll put it back on her side and then she'll put it on my side. You know, that childish type of thing. And I'll put it back on her side. And, we were sharing a room, the three of us. So it was me, that particular cousin, and another cousin of ours who was much older than us. And so she didn't want to get involved in that money dispute. So she will just let it be. Until one time my sister, who was, not staying with my aunt, came to visit us at the time we were with our uncle. And she now lent off this $100, which was back and forth. This one is taking it. My sister, and I'm so glad until this day that she did that. She now decided, people are fighting over $100. Nobody wants it. You know what? I will take it. And she took it. She went and used it. I felt relieved because I didn't want to get it back, because I gave it to you. Regardless of our disagreement, I gave it to you. She on the other end, she felt like, yeah, you said all those things about me and blah, 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 blah. So take back your $100. So, but along in the way on the journey, now when I realized 2 weeks are going, there's still this tension between my cousin and I. 3 weeks are going, there's still this tension. It now started to eat me up, because remember, I didn't think, if I had known, and I tell you now, if I had known that saying those words to my cousin, I still remember I did not insult her, but I pointed out all the truthful things that I thought that she was. Whether I felt like she was maybe envious or jealous, I made sure that I let her know that I thought that about her. Oh my word. 3 weeks into this thing, or just time after time, now realizing that this thing affected our relationship, I started regretting why I even opened up my mouth in the first place. Regardless of what triggered whatever she said, I really felt like I should have kept those words to myself and not say it to my cousin, because now I missed my cousin. I missed that relationship we had. I miss, as much as it wasn't a perfect relationship, you know, it's cousins, so there's bound to be some tension here and there, some disagreement here and there. I miss how we could talk. I miss how I could confide in about certain things. I miss how I could ask for her advice. I missed so many things that we used to do together that we couldn't do anymore. And at that point, I really wished, you know what, if I could undo things, I'd rather be whatever was coming my way for our peace, for our relationship. And then I remember again, this one I can't vividly remember, but I went on to, after some time, probably after some years again, there was a time I had another disagreement. I can't remember so very well who it was again and what that disagreement was all about. But I remember again, I did have a particular disagreement with someone. And the same thing after time when, oh, it was my sister. But this was years after now. Years after in my adulthood, I had a disagreement with my sister and it was over finances. She wanted me to help her financially and I felt like she was being ungrateful because I had just helped her, you know, cover certain expenses. So, and I needed to look at other things. Now she had been working for some time and I had just gotten a job and I felt like my sister was being unreasonable because I had just helped her cover certain expenses and all of a sudden I'm being asked to still come through for her. So then I thought I was polite. I was telling her that no, I just did this. I have to do that. Da, 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 da. So we had a disagreement and the very next day I woke up to come and say, you know what, my sister, I'm very sorry about last night or the disagreement we had. I was just saying this and this, trying to explain to her because of this and that, but I'm really sorry. She was like, she's not interested. Oh my word, that was the biggest blow I've ever received in my life. When you're apologizing to somebody and they say they're not interested in what you have to say, I say, what? I went back to my room and from there I said, you know what? Let everybody mind their business. Now over time when my sister and I were not on good speaking terms, you know, it was high and bye. Oh my goodness. I regretted every moment of it. Like I felt like, you know what? I should have kept my mouth shut altogether. Even if she was the wrong one, I should have just kept quiet. Why? I'm looking at the end goal of what now transpired from all this, you know? These are two different scenarios and two different examples that I may told you now about my own personal story and conflict with my loved ones. And when I looked at the end goal, I regretted everything, you know? I wished I had just been quiet. Why? I preferred it's best if we had just gone your way. Perhaps I should never speak about how I feel so as to maintain peace, so as to keep this, you know, bond, so as not to be holding grudges against each other. Now that, my friend, is an healthy way of resolving conflict. Yeah. And that is exactly what I want us to get into today. Now, many of the disputes family experiences are deeply familiar. Parents and children often clash over discipline, independence, and respect. Many children, sometimes when their parents discipline them, and sometimes parents go overboard, feel like it was uncalled for. They didn't deserve it, you know, and especially when you're going to discipline a child and you don't explain to them why you're going to discipline them, you tend to bring in more tension. And I remember this one with my son, particularly, you know, there was a time I disciplined the two of them and he, on the other hand, felt like he was not deserving of the discipline. So it brought hostileness. He was very hostile because of that discipline that I gave him. And I learned, that, you know what? I think it's best that to make it very clear why you are being disciplined, why this is happening. This is a consequence of what you did and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now we've already discussed about child training, on this show, Family Dynamics. If you're interested in listening to that, please head over to our podcast session. If you haven't downloaded the Eagle FM app already, make sure that you do so you can enjoy everything, every conversation that is held right here on your number one talk radio station. And of course, there's clashing also over, respect or lack of respect thereof. And siblings, on the other hand, may struggle with rivalry, struggle with jealousy, or unequal responsibilities. Now, one person may feel like that they have more responsibility. There might be rivalry, you know, there might be jealousy. They feel like the next person is getting more attention from mom or dad or uncle than they are, you know. So, in the aspect of unhealthy way of resolving conflict, there's a lot to discuss about in that aspect, and also certain things that we ought to say and ought not to say, so that we can prevent. You know, the end goal is that is what you're looking for. How is this going to end once I speak about it? Should I maybe hold back and speak about it at another time? Should I maybe involve a third party to help resolve the conflict? Those are some of the questions and answers that we'll be looking at today. Now, for now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Lingusala butokwa kwa sichaba sana Namibia sesipila mwamu wa sizo. Ye kitemuso ya butokwa kuzwele lalikola njimo, bundui, mezi ni pukelezo ya mubu. Muteleze kaswanelo, ni kuikabe alingusala butokwa le ni mabasi amina. Vao mpila mbapa ni vona, mane chwalo ni mizwale. Mwikambuse kwa kezo ya kulekisa ni kuleka mubu wa sizo. Livaka kila kuli, mubu wa maino mana Namibia ulo wilo kimubuso. Mea psika alumelwa ni hainyani kulekiswa manzila ifika mbaifi. Kuitenga maka ulo ya tekiso ya mubu uo, kuungi waku baka ulo ya kuloba mulao. Mubu wa sichaba wa maino kaku ya kamulao wa buketa lizuwa wa siri musa 2002. Uhanisa kezo ye chwalo. Zemu kwa naku talimanya nizona hamu itenga matekiso isi kamulao kizela telela. Kamulao, lifosi likuwa naku lengi wa mastoki sikapa kutomelwa tifo ya mashiri. Kusitatalisa sizuale sasichava. Kulekisa kapa kuleka mubu wa sizo kukwana kutisa lifapani imizeko mahala sichava. Zemu toka kuziva kizemu. Mubu wa maino kiwaluna kaofela. Mimutu ni mutu utoka kufumana kavelo ya yona. Kubihali tava za mubu zelo wa mulao. Haiva mule muhileli tava zeskani tifazwa za tekiso ya mubu. Mususuweza ni kuelezwa kubihatava ye chwalo kwa kute amina ya sizo. Kachengo, kaka ike mezi kaka vwona za mubu wa sizo. Kapa ofesi ya likolo ielimuka ofini mina. Lususuweza hape kukona kusebeza hamoho. Kungele la chwalo ni kukona kubukeleza mubu wa luna. Nilimbule za nyambe. Kakweza chwalo kuekeza kwa bukamuso. Mubuso hauna kubaka ulo ya sinyehelo ya mubu, zeti swakili tekiso za mubu kwa mukunda. Muhupule, mubu wa sichava wa maino wa kataleha. Lubu keleze kaswanelo. Luitumezi kwa salisano ya mina. Lingusa la wireless le. Litusizwe katuso ya mashiringi kuzuelela kwa mubusu wa naha Namibia ni naha Germany. Mwaka ulo ya panka ya Germany Development Bank. Kutualitava kabutungi za butokwa. Mukwane kuzuela kwa office ya libu kaufini mina. Kapa kuikopanya ni mubuleli walikola njimo, bundui, mezi ni pukelezo ya mubu. Fanombolo 061-2087-604. Lipuzo kaufela zimu na nizona. Mulilu umele kumuwa kameli walikolo.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete opoewe ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heavy nola natu heali bali no heavy ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And of course, we are back. Welcome to Family Dynamics, right here on your number one talk radio station. Like I say, today we are talking about family, resolving family disputes and family conflicts. Yeah. And I just, shared, two very interesting stories, about my life, in terms of, conflicts within family that left me sort of wishing that, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Now, of course, moving on, as I said earlier, siblings may struggle also with rivalry, jealousy, or unequal responsibilities, because one sibling may actually feel that they are given more responsibilities compared to the other one, which I've noticed can be a thing, yes, in a home. We tend to send those ones that usually will get the work done or will get the work done best. Sometimes we parents also need to exercise patience, you know, with the one who can't do so, who doesn't do so good. Let them do regardless. Let them just do, because then the other one becomes a burden. And before you know it, they also don't want to do chores again. So couples may experience conflict around finances, around trust or communication, while extended family dynamics, especially involving in-laws, can add pressure. Now, disagreements over money, over inheritance, and caregiving responsibilities also commonly create tension. And these issues become more difficult when families avoid talking about them openly, rather allowing resentment to build over time. Now let's get back to unhealthy ways of resolving conflict and ways perhaps so that we can better be able to resolve conflict. One thing for sure, you don't want to speak when you are angry. That is a number one aspect that I have learned. Don't speak when you are angry. Although the emotions and the tension is very high at that point, you really, really just want to get it out of you. And if it's a child, you almost sort of wish to pull them and whip them, you know, because you feel like you're bigger and so you have more strength than what. So, but then again, even with children, we still have to exercise, that patience with over ourselves and sort of tell ourselves that, you know what? Calm down, cool down. If you need to take a walk and walk away from the situation, then do that. Before, I used to see and think people who walk away from a conflict are perhaps just being cowards, you know? Why can't you just stay so that we can resolve this conflict? But I realize it's for their own good and for your good as well that they walk away, because they might say something that will then push you to say something that is uncalled for, to say something that is hurtful, to say something that will not be forgotten for years to come, and something that will strain that good relationship the two of you have been having. You know, that good relationship you and your sibling have been enjoying, you and your sister have been enjoying, now all of a sudden because of that particular word that you said. And sometimes we use things that we know, this particular thing, I know if I say it, it's going to hurt her so much, you know. And sometimes that particular thing that you see is what she confided in you at that other time. You use it now against her. Now, that's something very terrible. When you use what people told you against them, they will not tell you whatever they may be going through or any secret whatsoever again. They won't. And people learn situations. They study also the environment in response to what you're saying. So sometimes they say that when you are angry, you tend to be, you speak out, all that is in your heart, you know, the truth of what is in your heart. You say it as much as you come later and say, you know what, I'm sorry, but that thing came deep from inside, you know, somewhere there, it was buried within your heart. That particular thing, however hurtful and however sorry you will be about it, months from now, or perhaps even years from now, that one thing for sure is that you did say it, and it usually came from within you, from your heart. So that's one thing for sure. Don't speak when you are angry. At least try your very best not to speak when you're angry. Work on your anger. And if need be, try anger management classes. You know, there's one thing I do appreciate now about, the internet and, online things. There are certain courses also that we can I call it a course? Yeah, sort of certain courses that we can really look up online. Sometimes is 28 date challenge of anger or yelling as a parent and stuff like that. And yeah. And so then you follow that up, and I don't know how effective it is, but I believe that it must have some sort of effect, you know, it must have produced some sort of fruit. Also books. A book is also another aspect, you know, that if you're trying to get yourself better, then go out there and buy that necessary book. Sometimes those books are available in the bookshop near you, or even in town or whatever. Go to a bookshop and ask for a particular book that is talking about perhaps anger management, and go through. And sometimes some of those books have exercises, activities to do. Then you fill in, why do you get angry so easily? What, you know, what forces you, what causes you to boil up? What causes emotional, you know, strain, emotional distress in you? That type of thing. And so then it helps. So it helps you to identify your problems, something that you didn't even know, you know, even existed, or you didn't have a name for it or a word for it, but then you realize, wait, these are my character traits, and these are the some of the solutions or possible solutions that they are offering me that I can do now. So also another aspect in helping yourself to calm down in anger management, I would say, get yourself somebody that you can be talking, somebody who can hold you accountable. Can be a counselor, can be a friend who is gifted with wisdom, you know. I have a particular friend whom I can almost, I can really without a doubt say that this friend is gifted with wisdom. I'm telling you, he is just full of wisdom. Anytime you call this person and you ask for advice, I tell you, and I appreciate this particular friend of mine. I appreciate him a lot, because I've reached out to him for advice, even on parenting, even advice on my children. Mind you, he's not a dad. Okay, but he's an uncle. Maybe that helps. He's not a father himself, but I've reach out to this person on advice on particular matters that I had to navigate in my life. And it's as if instantly as you are speaking, you know, he will just, and another aspect is that he's a good listener as well. So as we're speaking on phone, telling him what had happened, he's listening and then comes in now with the advice, and it sort of just calls you and calms you to say, you know what? Let me be calm about this situation after he has thoroughly spoken to you. So we have people like that in society who have gifts of wisdom, gifts of counsel. Sometimes there's a particular aunt in your family. You know, when you speak to aunt, everyone in the family knows that if you go and speak to Auntie A or Auntie B, she would just sort of know what to do. It's a gift. You know, people have different gifts. Just like someone has a gift, educational gift. Another one has a gift of wisdom. Another one has a gift of understanding. Another one has a gift of resolving conflict. It's gifts. And these gifts are placed in men around us, and we need to make use of them for our own benefit. Yeah. So don't feel that pride that I can't speak to the next person. So that's some of the aspects that I believe can help us in terms of anger management issues. So later on, after you've calmed down, come back now and speak about the matter. But first, also then, after getting proper counsel on how to handle it, then find out whether how you're actually going to go about it. Yeah. Now, when family conflict is ignored or handled poorly, the consequences can be very serious. Yeah. Such as the consequence of straining the relationship and holding grudges. And no matter how the two of you communicate, there are certain people who are just hardcore good. No, I don't want to say good, bad at holding grudges. They will literally hold a grudge against you for the longest time. And if you are the soft person who just wants peace, you know, you just want us to forget that thing now. Let's forget about it. Forget about it. That which you made, the way you made me feel, they still want to hold on how you made me feel. I know, man. Let's forget about it. And, you know, so, that's one of the very serious consequences, especially if you are dealing with somebody who can hold on to grudges for dear life, then you are in for it. So, yeah. So you wouldn't want to handle that conflict or that dispute poorly, because you will reap the consequences of that tension which you don't want to have, or you don't want it to exist between you and your loved one. Now, also unresolved conflict, this or unresolved disputes often leads to emotional distance, broken trust, and long-term estrangement. Yeah. Basically, kind of like just breaking down what I've said over the course of time. Emotional distance. The two of you were so close. You could confide in this person. You could call them anytime when you're broken. But now you can't. They're not interested. They become so emotionally distant. And even if you do apologize for some people, you can tell that this one, I don't know, maybe requires prayers, nothing else. And then broken trust, it causes the trust that once was there to be broken. You know, some people can be smiling with you and still be happily, sort of like behaving jolly happy, but there's just that bat in their mind that the way she made me feel the other time. That's why we need to forgive one another and forget. I know it's not easy to completely forget and erase the memory, but then you don't dwell on it, like keep on remembering it, actively remembering it. You say, this is what they did to me. You know, so you let go, you let go, you let go of that. So we need to forgive one another. And when you see that, you know what, I think I haven't really gotten over that situation of what the person did to me, then find out measures of how you can really overcome it and employ those measures, put those measures into effect so that it can help you better. Now, children raised in environments filled with tension may experience anxiety, insecurity, or difficulty forming healthy relationships later in life. You know that particular situation that I spoke about, and I went on to, usually when I have a conflict with someone, I'll be scared to say, maybe this person's not gonna be my friend anymore. This was as a result of past relationships that have happened, past conflicts that have happened with my cousins, in my relationship with my cousins, whereby or with a sibling, whereby we had a conflict and all of a sudden this person is not talking to me anymore, or the relationship has become strained. So it goes on to build anxiety in life as you grow up. Any conflict you have, any disagreement you tend to have in future, you become so scared, completely, dramatically scared that, oh my God, I've lost this relationship now. I've lost this friendship now because we had a disagreement. And the next person who's coming from a family or from a background of conflicts are part of life. Conflicts are part of family. We just need to manage them well. We'll be looking at you like, but it's just a disagreement. Why are you feeling like that? So children who are raised in environments filled with tension may experience anxiety in the future and insecurity in the future. They may also be insecure about themselves, which is not nice. And also then they might find them in situations where they find it difficult to actually form the healthy family relationships and maintain healthy family bonds. Now, in many cases, families do not break apart because of one major incident, but because of many small conflicts that were never addressed honestly or respectfully. One time, a friend of mine put on a status to say she wants friends that can have honest, truthful, conversations with her, hardcore, truthful conversations, because most of the time we are tiptoeing around each other. You don't want to offend the next person, but then that's also not good and that's not healthy either, because if you are my friend or you are my sister, my brother, and you can't tell me the honest truth of my mistake, of my shortcoming, then who do you expect to sum up the courage and actually tell me that this is wrong, that which you do? You expect me to go out there and complete strangers are the ones who are going to point out my flaws, and they might not do it in a loving manner, and they might actually be embarrassed about it, which then breaks my confidence, when it could have been you as a sibling. Would have been better for you to actually be the one to tell me, be the one to inform me, and that would have been helpful, you know. That would have been, I would have then tried to work on myself now before even going out there, before even, working with strangers, you know, who later than I come to know, before even meeting other people, you would have been the one to correct me and I would have, probably amended. Of course, there are times where you tell somebody and they don't seem to get it at that point that they are in the wrong. But as with time, they now realize that, hey, hold on. When they are gonna have when they are gonna encounter people, and then the next person says the same thing about them, they now say, "Hold on, but A doesn't know B, but A said something about me that B now is saying about me, that then I need to make some reflection, I need to make some calculations, and then they will come to the bottom of, I think I'm in the wrong." So sometimes realizing that you are in the wrong, or the next person realizing that in the wrong, that they are in the wrong, may not really be at that moment when you tell them that this is wrong or that which you do is wrong. It may come later, sometimes even years later, or even sometimes months, but then sometimes it takes really another experience, another similar experience that they had with you, that then makes them realize that, oh, what the next person or what the other person said about me in the past is actually right. I need to do something about it. Now, in many cases, families do not break, like I said, apart because of one major incident, but it takes small repetitive things, you know, because they are unresolved. So it's very important that we resolve our tensions and our conflicts and our disputes. Now, when it's early, then to allow the situation to accumulate, the tension to accumulate, and later on, we can't do much about it. Or later on, it explodes. Yeah. Because when you now want to, because now later on, when you want to resolve it, it has grown over time and it just becomes quite difficult to resolve, easily and quickly. Now, healthy conflict resolution begins with open and honest communication. Remember, respecting people's boundaries and respecting also, people, regardless of, I think their behavior and character is also important. You know, some people behave certain ways because of certain experiences in their lives. And it's later on when you learn about those experiences that you now say, oh, I should have done better. So give everyone that benefit of the doubt, or give everyone that space to communicate with them in an open, honest, and respectful manner, regardless of whether you know what the background trigger is or not. Now, families must create spaces where members feel safe to express their thoughts and emotions without fear of judgment, without fear of punishment, or without fear of ridicule. And I think this is the problem where a lot of family members don't allow others to express themselves peacefully, to express themselves, express their thoughts and their emotions without fear. Fear of, if I say this now, my uncle will be very angry with me. If I say this now, judgment is going to follow. If I say this now, punishment accompanies this particular thing that I say, or I'm going to be ridiculed. You know, once a person is made to feel that way, then forget about them trying to open up in future, because they already calculate. They calculate to say, even if I do the right thing and speak up, it's just going to be seen as some, I'm being disrespectful, or it's just going to come as being ridiculed. So I'd rather just keep quiet. So the moment you don't create that space, then yeah, you know, I saw on a particular person status where they said, your family, the family that where you're coming from, you are part of that family where you're coming from, you know, they molded you, they, you know, but you are responsible for the family that you're building now. So as much as it wasn't possible, it wasn't done, not that it wasn't possible, it wasn't emphasized and it wasn't done from the family you are coming from, well, ensure that you lay down, you know, especially now that you have an opportunity for the family that you're responsible for. And by me saying for the family you're responsible for, it doesn't always mean our very own biological children. It can also mean your brother's son, your sister's child who is in your care. You lay it down, or comes over for holiday. You speak it into those young ones, and you just never know. They grow up actually knowing that auntie taught me this and that. So it's not always about looking at the past. If you can recorrect it, you know, from the family where you are coming from, then wonderful. If you can't, pass it down on to other generations. Now, this means also speaking calmly. You know, when you come from a family where shouting is an order of the day, you tend to also become a shouting parent. And, you know, an African proverb says, a child often scolded never listens. The more you shout, the more you speak loud, the child doesn't listen. But those parents or those guardians that speak to children in a calm and a firm once, children tend to listen. They tend to listen because, you know, there's a way calmness instills some sort of level of peace, because now that you get the attention of the child or of the person, because you are calm. And not just a child, but any person you are speaking to. They can be adults. You know, I also noticed one thing. We tend to address each other. Growing up, for instance, I have a big brother and I'm the younger sister. Even as we grow up, they tend to still see me as a younger sister, even when we have gone on to grow and have our own children and family. That's one thing where we need to make some reflection. And I start seeing the next person as an adult, as a father. You know, the day before yesterday, I had a conversation with my brother because his son was with me for a day, and how that boy loves me. My goodness. I can almost say the boy loves me the way I love his dad. The way I love his dad. He's such a close brother of mine whom I dearly love. And it just happens how it, you know, kind of history repeats itself. So I don't know if he sees, he's 4 years old and I think he sees me as a friend. So yeah. And my other sister was actually saying that I'm good with children. And I was saying, you know what? I think I'm good with children, but I can play with them, you know, give them that attention and really come to their level. And that's one thing that is very important also. You come to the level of a person. If it's a child, if need be, come down to their level so you can get each other. You know, the moment you're treating a child like an adult, to expect them to respond or do things as an adult, there you completely miss it. So when we grow up, you know, we're growing up, and now you all the time saw me as a younger one, and now I'm all grown up. Of course, I'm still the younger one in your eyes, but then there should also be times where you now address the next person and remember, consciously bear in mind that this is a whole mother and a whole father and a whole husband, somebody's wife, you know, a boss at work. You know, so, you know, sometimes for some people, they can be so well respected at work because he's the director. And then at home, he's just our big brother. So, but then we need to also, you know, level up and come to that level of other people involving, seeing them through the lenses of other people and giving them that honor, giving them that respect. That's why sometimes you see siblings call each other, by, you know, formal titles, sort of to say, or call each other, let me say, for instance, I'm addressing my brother in front of my children. I'm most likely to say uncle, so, instead of just calling them by their name. Why? I don't want my kids to repeat after me by calling him directly. For me and him, of course, it's not wrong me calling him directly, his name directly. But for the children now, they tend to see that and copy it. And for them, that'll be disrespectful. So it's quite important that we also then address people sort of like in the class where they are, you know, not forgetting they are a family member, of course. But then again, you want to sort of like, allow people to respect them. Have you noticed that people tend to follow your lead? Even with friends, when you introduce friends and you say, let me make this more clearer. I have a cousin-in-law who would call her husband by Tate. Anytime she's introducing her husband, she'll say, this is Tate, so. So all of us had that thing in the back of our mind. We all address him, whether we're talking about him, maybe we're referring to him, we'll say, Tate, so. Why? The wife made it like that. Anytime she's talking to you about him, she will include that, you know, like, that. And so when you now address the person by their name, as you speak about them, they tend to also just do that. Sort of like also even in the workplace, if you tend to say, Mr. Who, then everybody just goes like that. Mr. Who, instead of addressing them by their name. So that's also very good, in terms of speaking and addressing and respectfully, addressing people around us and especially our loved ones. So going back to resolving, conflict and healthy conflict resolution, other aspects we spoke about, of course, speaking calmly. Let's talk about avoiding insults. You obviously want to avoid insulting the next person and using language that focuses on feelings rather than blame. You don't want to blame the next person if you want to resolve a conflict. The moment you throw in insult, it's as if you close the gap altogether. You close the door for peace altogether, or you close the door for making amendments altogether. Just as important as active listening is truly hearing what the other person is saying rather than preparing a response or becoming defensive is also very important. Yeah. Listen to what the next person is saying, especially when you're trying to resolve a conflict, because the moment the person says something that is very important and they ask and they notice that you're not paying attention and they say, are you even listening? And you say, of course I'm listening. Okay, what did I just say? And you are blank. You can't remember what they say. They now start to feel like you're not even interested in actually making peace. You're not even interested in actually resolving this conflict. So many family disputes persist simply because individuals do not feel heard. And not only do they feel heard, they don't feel understood. So because of that, this conflict and this dispute and this disagreements will continue to persist. Because they feel like, even if I speak, you can't hear me. You're not hearing me. Or even if I do speak, you're not understanding me. So it's quite important, as much as you've already made up, don't already make up your mind. You might say you are right, you're in the right, and but don't already make up your mind. Don't make up your mind yet. Leave room for the next person's idea. Listen to them. Listen to their reasoning. Listen to their ideas of the matter. And just listen. it might give you a different perspective. It might actually give you a different way of thinking or a different way of seeing it. And that's important. Yeah. So with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, this is Family Dynamics. We're talking about resolving disputes and conflict in a healthy manner. Our studio line is open 083-288-401. Should you be interested in airing your opinions and contributions right here on Family Dynamics. For now, I post right here. I'll see you shortly after the commercial break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ripuranengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere Urikoni Mount to Ingida, Ashike Kapenon Meku, Tite Opoye, Ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todaya njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okwene ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, speaking about healthy conflict resolution, right, as we discuss the aspect of conflict and disputes, settling conflicts and disputes within families. Now, one other aspect is respecting boundaries is another essential part of resolving family conflict in a healthy way. Now, while family closeness is important, excessive control or interference can lead to resentment. You know, if there's anything that we also need to exercise cautious about is excessively interfering in our loved ones' lives. This can mean anybody in your life. You know, as individuals or as human beings, there are times where we want to be left alone. Whether it's by our spouse, by our children, by our friends, mom, dad, it doesn't matter. I don't know about other people, but I've come to notice it with myself and with some other loved ones. Excessive control or interference can lead to resentment. As much as we love people, as much as we love our children, there are times when we as parents want to be left alone or want to be on our own. And that is where sometimes sending the kids for holiday or sending the kids for weekends comes in also, plays its part, plays an important role. Why? As a human being, there's a way you also want sometimes to deal with your own issues or maybe you want to finish a project or you just want to work on yourself on certain areas without your loved ones being there, you know? And that should be respected. There's nothing wrong with a father wanting to seclude himself and just be by himself, and mommy takes care of the children. There's nothing wrong with that. As well as there's nothing wrong with mommy wanting me time. It's necessary. Even in friendship, there are times where you just want to be by yourself. That doesn't mean you don't love the next person. No, that doesn't mean that you don't love your loved ones. You don't love your children. You don't love your spouse. You don't love your friend. You don't love your mama. You don't love your dad. No, it just means you want to be by yourself. So that excessive interference can now build up resentment, can now build up annoyance, can build up irritation. And that, my friend, brings conflict. So we also need to play wisdom in this aspect and balance the situation so we don't go overboard. Let's talk about excessive control. The moment you're controlling the next person excessively, they tend to get annoyed and irritated. This is true not only for relationships, it's true not only for a couple, but it's true also for children and parent relationship. The moment parents are excessively controlling their child, it builds up some resentment. It builds up some conflict. It builds up tension. It builds up that thing of just, even rebellion and stubbornness. It builds up that in the child too. Why? Because you are so excessively controlling them. And that is not good. You know, there's one important thing that I have learned in life. Speak about what you want to your child. Tell them, this is what I want you to do. This is what I don't want. It depends also on their age. And to an adult, speak about the things that you want and don't want to do. And yeah, maybe some sort of control. I don't know. Maybe it would be there. But nobody really wants to be controlled. I personally don't like to be controlled by anybody. Why? I'm a whole adult. And I noticed this when I was a teenager. I said, I'm grown up. I'm a whole adult on my own. I don't need nobody to control me. Guide me, but don't control me. Why? You want to allow this person to live their life. If they're going to make mistakes, allow them to make those mistakes. They will, if you're scared they'll suffer the consequences, well, allow them to make their mistakes and suffer the consequences if they are not listening. Because remember, you are there to guide. You're there to instruct. You're there to lead. And the moment you are trying to lead and guide, but the person doesn't seem to be listening, well, allow them to fall in their own ditch so that they can learn that falling in a ditch is painful. Get some scratches. You can sustain scratches here and there, and you will pick yourself up. Tomorrow, they'll be more careful on their way so as not to fall into a ditch. I hope that makes sense, or that parable is clear. Because really, excessively controlling a person can build up conflict, you know, can really bring up tension that could have been avoided in the first place if you allow people to be on their own. So boundaries, which we have discussed on it thoroughly in a conversation right here, our boundaries help clarify expectations and also help protect emotional well-being and maintain mutual respect. Now, setting boundaries does not mean rejecting one's family. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means you're creating a healthier relationship or healthier relationships where each person's individuality is acknowledged and respected. Remember, in the opening of our conversation today, we spoke about different personalities. So this is the same as a person's individuality being acknowledged and respected. Like I said earlier, you can be siblings, you know, you can be sisters of from the same mother and father, having grown up in the same environment, in the same house, having gone even to the same school, yet you are two different people with different personalities. The other one might like peaches, the other one might not like. The other one might like to spend time on their on by themselves in their room alone. The other one may feel like I can spend time by myself when it's late at night and everyone has gone to bed. So we are completely different people, but in our differences, let's acknowledge one another. Let's respect one another and let's love one another and deal with each other with that in mind, you know, bearing that in mind. So let's talk also about culture. Now, culture and tradition also play a significant role in how families handle conflict. In many communities, respect for elders and family hierarchy is deeply valued. While this respect is important, it should not silence younger family members or excuse harmful behavior. For instance, some uncles can go out and do and act wickedly, you know. I say wickedly because they can do really wrong, can go out and do bad behaviors, behave badly, you know. But the younger ones who now notice that uncle is out of line are told that if you speak up or speak out or even try to correct your uncle, then you attempt as disrespectful. You don't respect your uncle. You are disrespectful. In fact, they call you are a disrespectful child. No, that's not the case. You know, generally in life, it should be like this. Correction should be a two-way street. The younger can correct the elder too, but in a respectful manner. It depends also. It depends, who is correcting the adult. But, you know, there are some parents, even in a culture or way tradition is seen as you don't correct adults. There are some adults, you know, who have wisdom and knowledge and I think understanding, who when a young man, for instance, comes to them and say, "Uncle, that which you have been doing is not right," you know, that young man can use wisdom to say, "This morning I'm going to see my uncle. I'm not going to talk to him in front of everybody. I'm not going to talk to him while there's other people. And I'm going to talk to him early in the morning. I'm not going to talk to him when he just came from the cooker shop and he's drunk. No, that'll be embarrassing. I'm going to speak to him, just the two of us, one-on-one conversation where it's just the two of us. And I'm going to respectfully and calmly tell him that, you know what, uncle? This which you have been doing is not right. And I think it's best if you do that." There are some of those uncles who will appreciate that young man for the rest of their life. Why? They will change their behavior and they will accredit it to this young man. So it depends also who you are dealing with. But yet again, there are those ones who won't appreciate it at all. We feel rather disrespected and call a family meeting, you know. Before you know it, a family meeting has been called. You are now being told that, "Why did you do this? You know, why did you say this? Why did you not say it this way? Or perhaps just why did you say it, altogether?" You know, so it depends really whom you are talking to, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to at least do it. At least do your part, but exercise patience and exercise respect as well, considering that you are dealing with an adult. Be careful in how you actually do it. So yeah, you know, this I want to read something that I think that I think would be beneficial. It says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. And then again it says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. There are some people who, if you reprove them or correct them, they will hate you. And there are other people who are wise and they are considered to be wise. If you correct them, they will love you. Why? They want to be wiser. They want to make the right thing. They want to know what to correct. You know, they didn't know, so now that you have told them, they want to change. But there are other people, once you do that, they see you as an enemy. So know where which one fits where. Know when to look over a matter, know when to actually speak. So it requires wisdom and balancing the situation. Now, of course, healthy families find a balance between honoring tradition and allowing open, respectful dialogue. You honor what is there already, and yet you allow for an open yet respectful dialogue. Culture should be a source of guidance and unity and not a source of fear or emotional suppression, right? Even with our uncles, we can still correct them, and we should correct them, because even if you don't correct them, the family gets a bad reputation or a bad name. Neighbors who go about speaking about that which they are doing, you know, it's important to do that. So it's also important to recognize when conflict becomes harmful. Abuse, whether it is emotional, whether it is physical or verbal, is not a normal family disagreement and should never be justified in the name of unity or in the name of tradition. Never. Now, in such situations, safety must take priority over reconciliation. Okay? I emphasize that. Safety must take priority over reconciliation. As much as reconciliation is wonderful and it's necessary, we need to prioritize the safety of the individual. There are certain reconciliations that can be done prematurely. As much as people will be celebrating that there's a reconciliation of this friendship or this relationship or this marriage or this couple, it can be done prematurely and it will bring more harm than good. Yeah. I think this will be the third time I make this example, not on this particular show, but yeah. I remember of a couple that was staying in Greenville. I believe this was about 2 years ago. And it say that they had disagreements over and over, and so they separated. Each one went to live the other way or whatsoever. So they reconciled, and a month into that reconciliation, the husband killed the wife and killed himself in front of their child. From what I hear the story, it was also covered, you know, in the newspaper and stuff. So that, I would want to think that safety was not prioritized over reconciliation in that aspect. And in this regard, I do say safety should be prioritized over reconciliation. Families should be encouraged to seek professional support, whether through counseling, through mediation, or social services. That is to ensure that conflict resolution does not place anyone at risk. You know, it's always good to, like I say, leave room for disappointment. As much as you're trying to resolve a problem, you might be really meaning for peace, but the next person might be so angry, might be so tensed up that you will be surprised that they came with a weapon and they will use that weapon over you. So families should be encouraged to seek professional support in the situation where it can't be handled by individuals or by lay people. Then this is where counseling, professional counseling and social services come in. That is to ensure that the resolution of the conflict does not place anyone at risk. So seeking help from outside the family is not a sign of weakness, which I believe a lot of people, and especially men, tend to see as weakness, especially wives want to seek for outside help, you know, to seek for perhaps counseling. Men tend to always think, don't you even dare go and air our dirty laundry outside. You will suffer with your problem in within, and there'll be no solution. You know, sometimes our solution to our problems lies with the next person, not necessarily in terms of finances and stuff, but sometimes in terms of advice, in terms of guidance. The next person might be able to guide you and say, go way to get the best treatment or the best help that you can get. So it should never be seen as a form of weakness, but rather as a form of strength and a form of commitment to healing. It should be seen as, this person is interested in the healing of this family. So family counseling and mediation can provide a neutral ground where difficult conversations can happen constructively. You know, there are certain conversations that are very difficult, that are very hard, that we can't have on our own without the help of other people. This is where community leaders or faith-based mediators or professionals like the ones I've just mentioned may also provide help, or may also help and provide the approach that is right to situations fairly and with proper understanding. Now, sometimes families need guidance to navigate deeply rooted issues and emotional pain. If there can be, you know, there was a series, I don't know if it still exists, but I used to see a conflict resolving series on in South Africa, you know. So it's as if they are there specifically for that, to resolve conflicts between families. Imagine if this was also done amongst us, you know, right here in the land of the brave. If there was just particular counselors that were going about trying to resolve conflicts in families, you know, those deeply rooted issues, those emotional pains, you know, those ones that they go about trying to reconcile families. I think what a better world we'll live in. What a better society would actually live in. It will really come in a long way if, you know, counselors could go about just deliberately, specifically, just going to communities to do that. It will help. But then again, wisdom and caution is needed in this aspect. Finally, on our conversation regarding family resolution, conflict resolution, we need to understand that families need to remember that children are always watching. Children are monkey see, monkey do. So they learn more from what they see us adults doing than from what we tell them. So the way adults handle conflict teaches the young ones and the young people, not just the children, but the youth as well, on how to manage disagreements in their own lives. You may not be seeing it, but they see it and they learn from you, the elder ones. So when families model calm communication, accountability and problem solving, and especially that aspect of accountability, you know, I always admire and appreciate people who take accountability of their actions. I believe in being accountable. Acknowledge that you were foolish in a certain aspect. I want to acknowledge that I made a foolish mistake here. I want to acknowledge that it was my mistake. The moment you do that, your children also acknowledge, they are accountable to what they, you know, you will, if you want children who are accountable for their actions, who broke the cup? I, mommy, am the one that broke that cup. That is accountability. You model that to your children. You don't just tell them to be accountable. You lead by example. If there is something that was done, and you know you're the one that did it, you need to acknowledge it so that you can set an example for your children. So families who model, you know, who live this lifestyle of of calm communication, of accountability and problem solving, equip the next generation with emotional resilience and emotional accountability. Now, this helps break cycles of conflict and also builds healthier families for the future. Yeah, it helps break the cycles of conflict because it is not something that is passed down. For instance, like I said, you might not be responsible for the family where you're coming from because you were not entirely, you were not the one in charge of that family, but you are responsible for your family. So move as you now address your family. Ensure that you play your part, you know. Ensure that you instill this cycle of breaking conflict and building a healthier family for the future, for yourself and for your loved ones and for the children, for those that are watching. So in closing, conflict is not the enemy of the family. Silence, pride, and unresolved pain are far more destructive. Yeah. The moment we exercise silence, we are prideful. We don't want to acknowledge our mistakes. You feel like you are the tiger of the family. Nobody can tell you what to do, what not to do. The moment there is unresolved pain that we don't want to talk about, we don't want to discuss, we don't want to, you know, put on the table and break it down and remove it out of the way, that is what brings more destruction. Not necessarily the conflict. The conflict is not necessarily the problem, but rather how we handle it, how we face it. So families that are willing to face conflict with honesty, with empathy and responsibility, create environments where healing is possible. Okay? And I've heard one of my guests say that when you are loved at home, you tend to thrive in any environment where you go to better. Why? You're coming from a place where those qualities have been instilled in you, where the qualities of honesty, qualities of empathy and responsibility and care and respect are installed in you, you know? Almost like as if you're installing documents in a USB. It's like that. Because with time, families are molding us, shaping us, building us. So the goal is not a perfect family, but rather one that chooses growth, one that chooses understanding, one that chooses healthy resolution over division. One that chooses healthy resolution, healthy management of conflict, healthy management of disputes over division. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to be family members who don't talk to each other because of unresolved trauma, unresolved fights, unresolved, you know, all those things. We don't want to be divided because of that. We want rather to be able to come together, correct one another, and speak about our issues in a peaceful manner. Yeah. So that's quite very important. And I think when we look at some of those things, that's what helps us as family. It's not necessarily the absence of conflict, but how we resolve those conflicts. That's important. Now, with that being said, we have come to the conclusion of our wonderful discussion today on conflict resolution, conflict management. I just hope that by the end of this series of family dynamics, we would have walked away with something that we can benefit from. I think it will also be very nice to actually go back to the podcast and actually listen to them again. And when, or perhaps when a particular need arises, then go back to this particular one and say, you know what? I think I need to listen to that one again so that I can remember some of the things that were discussed, even from our guests that have joined us in studio. Now, from Indafa, happy Juju. At this point, I say goodbye. Adios, Tata. I'll see you again same time, same place tomorrow. Same radio frequency, same radio app, and same radio app. That is Eagle FM Namibia. Same radio website. That is Eagle FM Namibia. Goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow. Enjoy your Monday afternoon.